It's crazy because you go from a team to where there's not any motion. Everybody's always stagnant. You know the personnel to now you get an array of every personnel, every single motion to try to make you think differently, but you're going to get the same play. So, I mean, it's a really good team that we're playing.
And you seem to particularly like to pay attention to whatever tip you might be able to find. So is that challenge of a lot of different looks, do you enjoy that, or would you rather it just sit there and be obvious to you?
I think it doesn't matter. Regardless, I think it's just reading and play right before the ball is snapped. And, I mean, every team have their tendencies, and if you study hard enough, you can, you know, find those things out. Like I said, I'm a tendency guy, and that's how I play. You know, playoff percentages and then, you know, instinct second. So the team that we're playing, like I said earlier, they're a really, really good team. They like to run the ball. But now you have a quarterback that also can run, that can string plays out. So got to make sure we corral him and keep him in the pocket.
So you'll go film study over gut instinct?
I will go film study first because usually you can see the tendencies that, you know, teams have. And then when you're out there, that's when you go off your gut instincts of, okay, I watched this 1,000 times. I know exactly what they're doing, but something looks a little bit odd. And those are the things that, you know, over time, preparation, that's what gets you to the point to where you make those good gut decisions.
What are the keys to containing DeMarco from seeing him, obviously, so much in Dallas?
DeMarco is one of those guys to where you can't let him get going from the first line of defense, meaning like the defensive line. You got to make him a one-dimensional player to where, let's say they like to, you know, spread us out in a big personnel and then run the ball. He's one of them guys that usually if they start running front side, they stay front side, but he doesn't. He'll look backside, and if there's a big B-gap, you have to always stay at home. And if you play fundamentally sound with him, that's how you can stop him. But you can't just be running up the field or doing your own deal. Everybody has to be on one accord.
Perfect. When you turn on this tape for this Titans offensive line, what do you see?
Some guys that really get after it. They're a mauler type offensive line. They play really well. And the thing is, it's you have to make them one-dimensional. That's what I say with any team that we play. If you let them run the ball, that's what they love to do. They're hogs. That's what they want to do. They want to, you know, that's what I call them. I call our guys that too. If you let them run the ball, that's what they love. They want to be in the trenches. But if you can now make them one-dimensional, where they have to now, well, I can wake up a little bit to, you know, rush the passer and wreak a little havoc out there. And I see that they leave us from past games. They leave guys one-on-one. So hopefully they do the same for us.
It did look like you guys last week knew your quarterback was going to be young and experienced, and you were cognizant of that, and you raised your game. Is that true?
I think it's one of those games where no matter what, we have to play week in and week out the same way. And I remember you asked me a while back, how consistent can we be? Can we play this way every week? We have to play this way every week to win, no matter who the quarterback is. Because that's our formula. You know, we get turnovers, we play well on defense, and we play situational football on offense. And that's been our formula. That's how we got to where we are right now.
When you have mauler guys or hogs, as you play, can you outthink them, or do you have to?
I think you have to out-aggress them. It's an effort thing. How hard do you want it? And I think it's going out there, and it's not just going out there and saying, okay, I'm going to, you know, try to outwit the guy. I want to steal his heart. That's the way I play. Week in and week out, I want this guy over here beside me at the end of the game to shake my hand because he know he got his butt kicked. I'm just being honest with you.
So it was about this time roughly last year, you guys seemed to almost flip a switch, take it up a little bit. What was that work that you guys did at that point? I think you were out at some point when you came back and it raised the level.
I think it comes from the off-season deal to where you think about the OTAs, the training camp, how hard you work. And then now this is the time that when you think about everybody's hurt, everybody's beat up, It's the effort thing, the want to. And you look at that man beside you and you say, you know, I'm out here playing for him. He's out here playing for me. The blood, sweat, and tears, all the things that football is made of, that's the reason why we play. And so now it's that time. It's that time right now. Everybody's beat up. It's like, how much do you want it? How much do you want to get to that pinnacle point of the playoffs and go further? It's all about the want to.
Do you think this locker room has that?
I think we've had it since the first game. You know, at the beginning of the season, we were up and down trying to figure it out. But now, you know what? We sat down. We're in the Catbird seat. And you know what? We just going to drive.
Compared to college football, where it's a beauty contest at the end, I mean, is it much different in the NFL where it doesn't matter if you win 20-10 or 35-3? I mean, a win's a win in the NFL.
Yeah. And I always look at the tally of not the score, but the L's and the W's, the wins and the losses. It's not about – you know, if you win by 35 or 20, how many wins did this team have? Who did they beat? It really doesn't matter. It's about the record, the L's and the W's. So we don't care about how we win. It's about winning the game and closing games out week in and week out.
Marcus, what do you think of the season Vaughn has had, given that he's coming off the way he came off of, but he's faced so much attention, you know, third guys even chip at him, double teams all the time?
What do you think? He started the season off where he ended last season off. And he's been playing consistent this whole year and, you know, being a big leader on our defense and doing what he needs to do, especially in pressure situations. I've seen in on tape where there's a tight end that chipped and then a running back chipped and then now he's bullying the tackle back and then now you get a strip sack to win the game. And that's a want to. I mean, after that first chip, you can be like, man, I'm going to get chipped. I'm not going to worry about it. But we don't play that way on our defense. We play until that whistle goes off, and that's how everybody's playing right now.
Not that it's about individual accolades, but is Vaughn Miller in position to be Defensive Player of the Year?
They ask me that all the time, and I say, yeah. He's one of those guys to where if you don't, you know, have two and three guys on him, you're going to have a problem. And he finds ways to win games. And he finds ways to make big plays all the time. And those are what defensive players that, you know, are the MVP of the league. That's what they do. You can slow the train down, but you're not going to stop it.
All right. Thanks, Marcus. Thank you.